Good morning, everybody. So it might not be a surprise to you that the last time I spoke about Abraham, and I'm going to speak to you again this morning about Abraham, because when I've been reading about it, I'm really challenged, and he's challenged me quite a lot. And I thought, well, if you're challenging me, it will obviously challenge you as well. So I just want to share a few things with you. So Abraham, for those of you that don't know, was a man of faith. Mick touched on it, and I touched on it, that Abraham is foundational in the Jewish faith, the Muslim faith, and the Christian faith. And he obviously didn't know that, but he is. And I've really been challenged. The main thing I've been challenged about is how Abraham talks to God. Because he talks to God and he doesn't get everything right. And I think that, I don't know how you feel, but it's quite good sometimes when you read about somebody in the Bible who don't get everything right. Because I don't get everything right. I make a lot of mistakes. I have quite a few assumptions about things. And I don't get things right. I can't say that in front of my husband, but, you know. And what I also find about him is he has highs and lows. And I find that interesting as well. Because God has did so much for him. So God would do a lot for him. And then what would happen is he'd have a bit of a dip. And you wouldn't always think that happens. Because you'd think, oh, well, God's done that. But why are you having this dip, Abraham? And that can be like us. We can have our own dips. Our circumstances in life come. And we can have a dip. So I found it quite interesting. And yet he still had questions about God's promises. And I put, does that sound familiar? When God promises us something, sometimes our promises are not sorted straight away. And boy, do we want things sorted straight away. I want instant. If somebody says to me, I'm going to do this, I want it done now. I'm a patient person, but when I set my mind on doing things, I want it done. And I love the relationship that he has with God. Because I like it because he's so honest. And God is God, yet he's so honest with him. So where I am now in the story of Abraham. Abraham has rescued Lot from Sodom. And conquered four kings. So, in those days, if you conquered a king, you took everything from that kingdom. You literally stripped it. And he conquered four. Now, those kings aren't going to go, oh, Abraham, here's my land, here's my animals, here's all my wealth, here's everything. Oh, go and take it, Abraham, and see your tribe and thingy. What they do is they find him. Go and look for him. And he had four kings that were looking for him. So at this point, Abraham was quite vulnerable and he was scared. And it actually says in the Bible, Abraham was scared. He obeyed God in every step. One of the things that God said is, when you conquer the land, do not take anything. And he did exactly what God had said. He didn't pick up anything. He didn't take anything he shouldn't. He did exactly what God had told him to do. But he was still fearful and he had doubts. And he was at his most vulnerable. Christian, it's okay to have fear. It's okay to have doubts. It's what you do with them. You know, in our humanity, when we were created, we weren't created as we are now. There was no fear. There was no doubt when God created mankind or the human race. There was no fear, there was no doubt. But we're not in that now. So we will have fears, we will have doubts. And sometimes we have a bad memory about the good thing that God's done. And that's why it's great this morning to share the goodness of God. And we need to do that. We need to remind ourselves. It's very encouraging. We learned on Thursday night, the week before last, that yeah, you can be a Christian and not go to church. But it encourages you to be in church. So you can be a Christian. My son says to me, I can be a Christian, Mum, and not be in church. And what I wasn't quick enough to say to him was, yes, but actually the encouragement you have is being in church. And that's where you grow. It's hard to grow on your own. It's hard to grow on your own. Genesis 15, this is the word that the Lord came to Abraham. Now, he says he spoke to Abraham. I'm going to reiterate it just in case somebody wasn't here when I said it a few weeks ago. This is the word that he said. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your very great reward. And I went, when I read that, I thought, do you remember your school reports? Good. Very good. Was that better? Yeah? Or bad? Or very bad? Depending on what your school report was like. And I was reading this, I thought, yeah, it's not great reward. It's a very great reward. There's a different emphasis when you say that. The word came to Abraham. And what I want to say again is, Abraham heard an audible voice, dreams. The Holy Spirit worked on his mind, heart, and soul. And it can be a passage of scripture through a prophetic word, or it can be someone preaching, someone talking about God's word. And on this occasion, it was a vision. God came to him in a vision. At this time, God said to Abraham what was needed, and he always will. One of the songs we sung this morning was that God's looking after you. When I was listening to it, God's looking after you. You see, what we think is, we think, oh, I'm insignificant. God's not bothered about me, but he is bothered about you. He's bothered about your individual circumstances. He's bothered about your life. He's bothered about what you've got your battles with. He's bothered about you, and he cares for you. I can't imagine sending my son to die for anyone. But God did that for each one of you, and you're not insignificant. And you see, what happens is, when we think we're insignificant and we're not important, what we then don't understand is, we kind of lose that understanding that God is looking out for us, because we're not important enough. And it's a lie to think that you're insignificant. Abram will be comforted that God is saying here that he will provide a shield. That's what God said to him. I will provide a shield in anticipation of further battles. God was offering protection. In the previous chapter in Genesis 14, Abram had denied himself and took nothing from the fight. He wouldn't owe anything, so that no one could make a claim that in that battle he took something. In his own life, he had a very great reward. He had peace, provision, God's favour, just everything, single thing that he needed, and taking care of us in our lives. Those things are for us too. God's peace, God's provision, God's favour, everything that you need. He knows what you need, it says in Matthew 6, verse 8. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. When I was growing up, I used to think, God, how can you know what I need? As a teenager, how can you know what I need before I've even told you? It used to blow my mind. And then I started to pray, I don't need to tell you, God, about what I need, because you know what I need. And that's how I started to pray. It changed the way I prayed. But when I was young and a Christian and a non-Christian home as a teenager, I used to think, God, how do you know what I need? But he did. Slide one. Thank you. Let me just turn around. I had a little problem with my PowerPoint this morning. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. I love the fact that in the next verse, despite winning his battle with four kings and doubts and promises of God, God promised him his son in Genesis 12. And what the next verse goes on to say, I will give you an heir, and I will give you, look at the sky, look at all the stars that are in the sky, and your descendants will be as many of those stars. And Abraham's like, well, God, it was done in a tone which was, well, God, you've not done that for me yet. You promised that for me, but you haven't done that for me yet. And you can understand his almost skepticism, really, in saying, well, God, you're saying you're going to do me promises, but actually the thing I want the most, you've not done yet. But what I liked about that, when I've read it again since I last spoke, was I really love the honest conversation that he has with God, and I think sometimes I think we might be a bit frightened to have an honest conversation with our God. And I would encourage you to have an honest conversation. And if there's something that you really need help with or something you want to talk to God about, then talk to him about it. He's your best friend. He's got you. He's got you. Talk to him about it. Abram's tone. One of the things that it wasn't kind of spoken as a denial, but it was a desire. And one of the things that I read when I read that, I said to God, Lord, when I'm asking you about things, Lord, please don't let it be from a place of denial that you can't do this. But let it be a place of desire that I would want you to do this. And I'm talking about details in your life. That's what I'm talking about. The things that are most important to you. And that might be a loved one who's not well, or it might be a family member, like what Sarah and Scott are going through at the moment, a family member who's poorly. And you're trying to, you know, navigate those things of life that are difficult. But you're not coming from a place of denial. Oh, God, you can't do anything. But it's a place of desire which says, please, God, can you do this? And he says, ask me. Always says, ask me. And I've told you the story about one day I was walking Jonathan to school and I was praying about why sometimes I'd taken him to school and I was walking down Guide Lane and I was walking back from school and I was just quietly just talking to God and I was asking him why he wasn't doing things that I asked him to do. And he said basically that the scripture came to me, you don't get an answer because you don't ask. And I remember being pulled up quite short, really. And I remember thinking, and as I walked home, I went home and I got home and I just prayed. And I said, God, I'm really sorry. I've not asked you. I've been moaning, but I haven't asked you. And I asked. And God did what I asked. Sometimes we can get frustrated when things haven't happened. But the honesty that Abraham brought was from his honest heart. God reaffirms his promise to Abraham. He's very specific. And now you hear me say this a lot, and I'm saying it again this morning because I feel like it needs to be said again, that our God is very specific. And he says, from your body a son will come. And points Abraham again to the sky, the heavens. And he tells him, all your descendants will be more than the stars in the sky. What a great illustration. Abraham believed God and it counted as righteousness. And I dipped into the Message version for this, just to have a quick look. I thought, what does the Message version say about this? And it says, set right with God. I thought that's a good way of us understanding it. Now, he was set right with God because he believed. Simply, he believed and he was set right with God. You know, it's not overcomplicated, our Christian life. Sometimes it is about us believing and it's about us trusting. If you want to, for those of you more mature Christians, if you want to read more about Abraham in the New Testament, read Romans 4. And it discusses there about his faith. Slide 2, please, verse 7 and 8. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will again be in possession of it. Abraham's questioning God all the time. And then there's a conversation then with God and Abraham that goes backwards and forwards. And he really asks this, how will I know? And I think, you know, as Christians, one of the things that I sometimes ask God for the big stuff and the little stuff, I just ask God, Lord, give me a peace. And just kind of help me to know that I know that I know. That's one of my prayers. Help me to know that I know that I know. So it's almost like it's a certainty, but it's kind of a certainty on the inside that actually chucks the doubt out. And you have to chuck the doubt out. And it's an intentional thing. It's not something, it's not passive. It's chuck the doubt out. Lord, let me know that I know that I know. And he has done. That's about being specific about what you need. The next bit is probably the bit that I just want you to listen to for a moment. So it's actually verse 9, and it's God is very specific to Abraham. He tells him to get a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, and a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Have you ever tried to catch a pigeon? I have. And then he brought all these to him and cut them in two. Now, don't start getting all sort of, you know, and sort of all this, because I started to read this and thought, no, just think about what was being asked. Because I'm the sort of person, I go to the fish shop, I see that fish there, I see a bream or a bass with its tail on and its head on. There's only Mark who loves fish like this. It's got its tail on, it's got its head on, it's got everything on. And I say to the fisherman, just take it all off and fillet it for me, please. I only want the clean bits. I don't want anything with any eyes or tails or fins or anything. I just want it cleaned up. So I started to read this and thinking, ugh. But I thought, no. And I'm going to just give you a little bit of background to this, because I thought, why did God tell him to do this and be so specific? Catching these animals would have been a skill. Do you ever watch any of these programs on the farmers where they're trying to catch one of these sheep? Stupid animals, aren't they? And, you know, you think a heifer, a 3-year-old cow, it's not going to be a little thing, is it? And like I said, a turtle dove. So he's got to get them all. The background to this is that whenever a contract was made, animals were used. And what would happen is, let's say Sue and I were having some sort of, say, going into business or something, or a covenant, an arrangement. What you'd do is you get these animals, not the birds, but the other animals, the three 3-year-old animals, they would be chopped in half, be laid on the floor. Sue and I would walk through those animals, and that would be our contract. Okay? They weren't typed, you know, it wasn't signed here. It was physically done. Do you get that? Yes? So Abraham does this, and he knows about contracts. This was all in sort of the Jewish law. This was all there. He would have known when he got these animals that this is what was happening. So they're all there on the floor. And Abraham thinks that God is going to come and walk with him and make this contract. And when I read this, and this is part of the word today for us as Christians, this is one of the main things that jumped out at me for today. We always think that God will do things the same as he's done it before. So when he's done things before for us, we think, oh, we do this part. We play our part here. We play our part there. We do this. We do this. This is what God's going to do. And the main purpose of today's message is, no, he's not. So Abraham does this, puts everything out. He's waiting for God to walk through the animals for this contract, for this covenant. What does God do? Pops him to sleep. Makes him go to sleep. And then it's not clear in the Bible, but reading between the lines, he either wakes up and he's groggy, or it's in the dream. It's not clear. He sees a torch go through, sees a light go through the path, walking through the animals, and he knows it's God. Why I'm bringing this to you this morning is, the main reason I'm bringing this to you today is, don't think that God will do things as he's always done things. So those of you been on the road a long time, don't think he's going to do things as he's always done things. Be open for God to do something different. And this is the main message today. Be open to God. Because in this setting, Abraham had marked it out. How many times as Christians do we mark out what we think what God's going to do? How many times, oh God, you're going to do it this way. You know, it might be, oh God, you're going to, you know, we're going to have our meeting like this. You know, how would we feel if one Sunday morning we came and God does something completely different? You know, how would we be about that? Because we're so used to having things done a particular way. We're so used to maybe praying in a particular way. We're so used to reading our Bible in a particular way. And what I felt when I was preparing this word was think about God doing things differently. God still did what he did. He still made a covenant with Abraham. He still promised Canaan to him. And that was the promise, that he would have this land and he would have descendants. That's what the covenant was. So he made a new covenant with Abraham, but he didn't do it the way that Abraham thought. Abraham thought, yeah, God, me and you are going to walk down the middle here. And what I'm saying this morning is that God is going to do things differently. And I felt that as I prepared this word, that God is going to do things differently, and expect him to do things differently, personally. And it might be in the church. It might be in the church that we're going to be doing things differently. But what we have to do is seek God, get an answer off God like Abraham did, do exactly to the letter of what God tells us to do, and then God does it his way. There'll always be things that we have to do. You know, I can't imagine doing that to an animal. I just really can't imagine it. But there's going to be things that we have to do as Christians. You know, things don't just happen. We have to do stuff. We have to be different. We have to change. We have to have the Holy Spirit helping us. We can't do it on our own. The Lord made a covenant in Genesis 15, and it's basically the Lord cut a covenant. That's really what happened. God did it. If you want further reading about it, it's in Jeremiah 34. The covenant is so serious because it's sealed with blood. It's a meaning that if you break the covenant, that your blood will be shed. And in those days, it was the animals, and anything that you owned would also there'd be bloodshed. So it's a very serious thing. We know that when this happened, when you read the text, Abraham waited quite a long time, and we know he waited a long time because these animals were cut the way they were and laid, and the vultures came, and he had to get them to get off. We know that he waited a long, long time for God to come, and sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes we have to wait for God to do things. I waited 17 years for my mum to become a Christian. 17 years I prayed for my mum. And eventually she became a Christian. And now she's in heaven, thank God. They think our children who aren't walking with God, our families, I talk to God about my family and I say, Lord, how are my family going to find you? My desire is that they find you, that they know you, that they love you, and that they understand about you. Your friends at college, their neighbours, just keep living your life. Just keep living it. Keep living it. It'll speak to them. Abraham's faith was strong, and he obeyed, and he waited. But wait for God, and he may have different plans. Let's ask God how he's going to accomplish what he needs to do. That's an honest conversation. And be open to him to do things differently, to do things unexpected. And finally, trust God to be your shield and to be your very reward. Because he's made a covenant with you through the sacrifice of his son Jesus on the cross. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask you now that as we've shared your word and talked about what was done with Abraham, Lord, that it will become reality in our own lives, and that, Lord, that we will not always look to you to do the same as you've done. Even if that's as good and brilliant as it can be, but Lord, that we don't limit you, Lord, and that when we look to you for the future, Lord, that we Don't settle for things to be done in the same way. Forgive us, Lord, when we don't like change. Forgive us. But Lord, let there be an openness amongst us. Let there be an openness as an individual for you to do things differently with us. Lord, help us sometimes with our mind and our heart to think outside the box with you, and help us, Lord, to have those honest conversations, Lord. And just draw closer to us as we draw closer to you. Amen.